Good morning, and thank you for being with us this Sunday. You know, we seem to be living in an era where everything is amplified. All of the things that we say, whether we're saying it in person to another person, or whether we're saying it on the internet, whether we're saying it in print, or really any way, it seems like all of our messages get amplified to the furthest possible extent. We live in a society where so many of the things that we have had are now new in the sense that they are strongly increased. Think about media. You know, 20 years ago, the amount of media that a person could consume on any daily basis was a fraction of what we have today. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about television shows or our access to music or access to books, almost every variety of media we have is massively amplified. The quantity of news that we hear on any given week. Go back in time 50 years, 100 years. People barely knew what was going on in the world around them. Today, we barely go a moment without knowing what's going on in the world around us. It seems like we live in an era where everything is faster, brighter, louder, stronger, more extreme. And that goes for one element to human behavior that I find both puzzling and completely understandable, and that is the notion of conspiracy theories. Kind of a strange way to go with that, but follow me on this. I believe that human beings are innately geared towards believing in the worst, not only about one another, but about society and culture around us. That we're geared to believe that there are, in fact, evil forces collaborating, working together to make bad things happen. Whether that's in our workplace, because we think that the guy who works over in accounting has it out for us, or whether we are thinking about that within our own family structures. You guys always team up against me. Or maybe we're just thinking about that on a national basis. Let's face it, right now it seems like nobody wants to agree about anything. So clearly we have two teams of people functionally collaborating, or if you will, conspiring against one another. But that goes even further. The quantity of really very strange conspiracy theories that humans have somehow glommed onto in the last 20 years is also greatly magnified. Things that people would have never, I think, 20 or 50 years ago even considered possibly entertaining have come into the public conversation. Is the world flat? I was almost sure that that was something we'd all totally and completely concluded was not the case. Yet now we have people, it's a conspiracy. They're telling you the world is round. When did that happen? And why did it happen? Conspiracies about everything from the moon landing to you name it. If it happens in the world, someone has a conspiracy to explain why some secret organization or group somewhere caused it to happen. Why is that? Why is it that we are so geared to look for our enemies conspiring against us? And I think the answer to this is quite simple. And it's what Jesus is actually beginning to approach in today's gospel lesson. And that is that as human beings, we don't want to believe in the notion of casual evil. It hurts us. It frightens us. It pushes us into a corner we don't want to be pushed into, to think that we live in a world where people are simply casually evil. That there is no greater intent. There is no grander scheme. There is no great cabal or conspiracy group making evil happen, but that it is simply fundamentally human nature to be casually evil. And I'll tell you why I think that we don't want to talk about this. It's because if we are honest about the nature of evil, then instead of looking for great conspiracies among these secret organizations or governmental bodies or political parties, if we are honest about the nature of evil, we have to recognize that we are agents of casual evil on a regular basis. You see, we want to think of evil as something that is being done on a grand scale, that there is a functional order and organization to it in order to accomplish nefarious goals, whether it's the nefarious goals of people who think differently than we do, or whether it's the nefarious goals of different nations. We want to think that there are organizations out there attempting to create evil because it takes the focus off of us. Takes the focus off of the reality to the fact is that 99.9% of the time, there's no conspiracy. There's no great group of people trying to make evil happen. There's no grand scheme, at least no grand human scheme, to pervert the nature of society. It's just we human beings. When we work together, when we collaborate in this thing that we call society, our casual evil interacts with other people's casual evil. And when I say casual evil, I don't mean evil that we commit when we're trying to act all casual, like we don't want people to notice for being evil. I mean the evil that we do on a daily basis that we choose to overlook because we tell ourselves it's no big deal, or everybody does it. Or I'll stop doing that tomorrow. Or it's really not that big of a deal. See, Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples, makes it very clear there's no such thing as casual evil. That if you are doing evil in this world, it is of great danger, grave danger to you and everyone around you. And that the best thing that you absolutely can do is to rid yourself of evil. Recognize it when it happens and tear it out at the root. Jesus uses hyperbole here. Basically says, if your hand is making you evil, get rid of your hand. Because there's nothing worse than evil. If your eye is making you evil, cut out your eye. There's nothing worse than evil. If you are encouraging others to do evil, or if you are inhibiting others from doing good, it's better that someone ties a heavy stone around your neck and tosses you in the ocean. Because Jesus takes the notion of evil very, very seriously. Because he realizes that when human beings casually dismiss the evil that we do, we lose sight of the fact that while there are not great cabals making the evil deeds of this world happen, no great conspiracy groups meeting in secret chambers somewhere to make bad things happen. But that when we human beings allow our casual evil, condone one another's casual evil, and ignore the communal evil that we do, when we allow for that, then yes, it does build into something tremendous and powerful and dangerous and society changing. Society destroying, soul destroying. In fact, Jesus warns repeatedly in this passage that wouldn't it be better that we go through life without these things that we think we need, but don't wind up condemned to hell for it? Because he recognizes that casual human evil, when interacting with other casual human evil, compounds into this destructive force that can be a wave that destroys not just our lives, but the lives of the people around us. He takes evil very, very seriously. And it should question why so frequently we're willing to take the evil accomplished by those people. Whoever those people are simply people who aren't you, right? When we take the evil accomplished by our enemies that we perceive as conspiring against good, and we hold that up as the gold standard of evil, We hold that up as the apex of what we have to worry about, and we dismiss our own casual evil. We lose sight of the fact that there really isn't such a thing as conspiring evil organizations. It's just the collective evil of humans, casually committed, dismissed, overlooked, swept under the rug, that builds up and eventually crushes us. If we want to change the world, if we want to make the world a less evil place, if we want to influence the movers and the shakers of this universe we live in, it doesn't begin by changing the upper echelons of society and politics and all of the things that we think are at the apex of human society. It begins with you and I. It begins with us holding ourselves accountable for the evil we commit, and holding accountable those whom we love, and allowing those who love us to hold us accountable. Building that mesh, that web, that network of those who look at one another and say, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. I'll lend you a hand. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. I'll look at things for you. It is about whether or not, in the business of the kingdom of God, we are honest. And we can be honest about evil. Not because God is looking down from heaven, shaking his finger, and just can't wait to punish us for the bad stuff we did. We can be honest about our evil because that we know, as Christians, on the cross, Jesus Christ forgave us of the consequence of what we've done wrong. We don't stand before the throne of God ashamed of ourselves, because Christ has given us his righteousness. But we do stand before the throne of God responsible for our behavior. So are we going to be casually evil? Dismiss the things that we do on a daily basis? No big deal, without recognizing how it affects those around us, how it builds up around us, and how it builds the society around us. Or will we be courageous and face the evil that is not casual, but deadly?